Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Jesus, you are precious. Precious Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. Let's sing that one more time.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I could sin more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust in more.
Happy Father's Day to you fathers. Glad that you are here. Glad that everyone is here. Glad that our live stream audience is with us this morning as well. We've got a new family coming to join our church this morning, the Steele family. You guys come on up. Nick and Susan and Nicholas come to join our church this morning, and that's exciting. You guys, right there, that'd be great. And one of the things that is even more exciting than having this new family join our church is Nicholas is coming to profess Jesus as his Lord and Savior this morning and be baptized. And so I'm going to come around. So Nicholas, at the end of the service, so that you don't have to sit in wet clothes, we're going to do the baptism at the end. But I want to go ahead and ask you, before you guys come as a family to join the church, I want to ask you the questions we talked about, and this word sin, where we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Do you confess to God that you are a sinner?
Yes.
You repent of your sin?
Yes.
Amen. Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And we will baptize you at the end, and so for all of you now, will you be loyal to this church? And with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness.
Yes.
Amen. Normally I would give you hugs and handshakes, but I will give you the fist bump of Christian fellowship. Never seen that before, have you? So, and normally we would all come and greet this family, but we're going to honor our social distancing. Make sure before they leave today that you have welcomed them to our church. I'm going to pray for you guys. Lord, thank you for this new family. I thank you for Nick and for Susan and for Nicholas. God, pray blessings on them. I thank you for this decision that Nicholas has made. He has said yes to you. And Lord, and I just pray blessings on him and blessings on this family. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys may be seated. Well, you know, I said last week, and I want to say it again, it's I don't know that I've mentioned it that often in the past, but offering is worship. Did you know that? When we give our tithes and offering, it is a way of response. Just like we give our praises to God, our service to God, we also give our tithes and offerings to God. So we are going to spend some time this morning worshiping as with our offering. If the plates are up here on the altar table and altar rail, you can come forward and put in your offering. I know many of you do the online giving. For our live stream audience, you can do online giving through our app, through our website, wileymethodist.org, or you can mail the church a check. I'm going to be talking more later in the sermon about what those gifts can do in our community and for the kingdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this group of believers you have assembled that we call Wiley Methodist Church. And God, I pray that that you will bless the giver and you will bless these gifts and your kingdom would come through these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. you may come with your service of offering.
Jesus, I see.
invite the children to come forward and join Miss Carlene. Can I hear an amen that we get the children back? Yeah.
Okay, are you excited about Children's Church? Are you excited about Children's Church? Yes! All right. Well, good. Well, I am so excited that you're here. I'm so excited that you're down here with me because I've missed y'all being right here and seeing your wonderful faces. All right, give me a big smile. I need to send those big smiles. All right. Well, good. Well, I'm excited that you are here today. So, okay, so with that, so what is today? What? Father's Day, that's right. So Father's Day is a special day that we honor our fathers, our dads, and our granddads, maybe our stepdads or uncles, whoever, right? We honor our men, the men in our lives, right? So if you think about that, do you give them a gift? Yeah? Okay, so I've got some ideas of some gifts that I might give somebody, okay? So maybe I would give them a book. I don't know that y'all would read this, but would you give them a book? Would that be a pretty good gift? Okay. What about a game?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what about maybe a cross or something like that? All right. Very good. And what about some candy? Yeah. Would you give? All right. And then maybe how about a card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. With some candy. So what are some other things you might give them? A picture? Okay, what else?
A homemade coaster.
Very good. What else? Anything else you can think of?
A board game?
All right. There's all kinds of gifts that you could give somebody special, right? What? You could give them God. That's absolutely right. You can give them God. That's right. Well, all those are great ideas to give someone. And you want to tell them that you love them, right? Well, do you know that God is our Heavenly Father? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So, do you think you should give God a gift?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. So, what would you give God?
Ourselves.
Our love.
Him some love.
Huh?
Him some love.
Would you give him a book?
Mm-hmm.
No. Why would you not give him a book?
A cross.
What? You could give him a Bible? Okay, so those are all some gifts that we might give him.
Our whole self,
that's right. Well, you know, God already has everything. Everything belongs to God. He created the world, right? So he has everything. So does he need anything really? No, he does need a couple of things from us. And it says this in the Bible, it tells us what God wants from us. It says in Deuteronomy 10:12, it says, what does the Lord your God really want from you? It tells us he wants love. That's right. He says the Lord your God wants you to respect him and to do what he says. He wants you to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart. He doesn't want maybe a book or anything like that. He wants you to love him. He wants you to honor him. He wants you to obey him. That's what he wants, not just from y'all, but from everybody, right? So if we did all of that, can we do that every day? Do we sometimes forget to maybe remember God and honor him? Yeah, but that's okay. But we need to remember to tell him that we love him. So remember to tell God that you love him, but also remember to tell somebody special that you love them and that God loves them. Can y'all do that this week? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you have everything, and that we just need to love you and honor you and just walk faithfully with you, Lord. I thank you for these boys and girls that are here today and for the families, and just exciting to be here today. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go this way.
Good morning, church family. Good morning, online community. God bless you for joining us this morning. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that through the app. Carlene sent out several emails over the last few days about Family Camp, which is in place of VBS this year. And that's going to take place on three different Saturdays, July the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. And there's a morning session and an afternoon session. So families, entire families, that means children, parents, grandparents, if grandparents want to get involved, will sign up for one three-hour slot on one of those Saturdays. So look for opportunities to sign up for one three-hour slot, either through email, look on for that link on our website. There will be a link on our app as well. And also there's volunteers needed to cover those times. So you can also sign up to volunteer. So Family Camp in July. Well, fathers, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And if you're in this room and you're a father, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, just to stand and remain standing. Can you do that if you're a father? Well, that's a good-looking group of men, right, ladies? Yeah. Thank you, guys. All right, we want to recognize two groups of fathers this morning. And the first group we want to recognize is the father that has been a father the longest period of time. Longest period of time. So if you've been a father, there's already some guys sitting down. So just hang on. If you've been a father for more than 60 years, go ahead and remain standing. That'll knock out a bunch of us, right? Knocked out everybody but Pete. How long, Pete? What's your first child's age? That'll tell you. 68. All right, 68 years. Well, God bless you, Pete. I'm sorry we don't have a prize for you, but appreciate you letting us know anyway. Actually, we had new cars for the winners this morning, but because of the coronavirus and shipping issues, they didn't arrive. Maybe next year. Okay, the father that's been the father the shortest length of time. So if you've been a dad for 5 years or less, go ahead and stand. If you've been a father for 5 years or less, go ahead and stand. I thought for sure we'd catch somebody. Chance Loomis, how old is your son? You have no idea. He's four. All right. So Chance is the winner this morning. Again, no prize for you, but we love you anyway. So we're going to pray for the fathers in a little bit. And, man, I just appreciate you guys. I know as a father, I haven't been a perfect father. But I'm thankful for the grace of God that allows us to continue to father our children no matter how old they are. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So this morning I want to pray for fathers. And if your father is here, or maybe your husband's here that's a father, I just want you to wrap him up this morning as I pray. Can we do that? Grab his hand or hug on him or whatever you want to do, and I'll pray for us. Well, Heavenly Father, happy Father's Day. And you are a good, good, good Father. And Lord, I guess in a sense, every day is Father's Day with you. Someone we should cherish, someone we should honor, someone that we should thank, someone that we should embrace. And you've been so good to us. And Lord, I just thank you for fatherhood. And Lord, there's probably not a dad in this room that's done it perfectly. But Lord, I just thank you for giving us wisdom. I just thank you for sustaining us. I just thank you for the grace that covers the things that we've done wrong. And Lord, just help us to pour into our children. I don't care how old they are, just help us to pour into our children. Help our children see Jesus in us. And Lord, shield from their eyes and protect their hearts from the things that they've seen us do that's maybe not been quite so pleasing to you. Lord, I pray for the young dads in the room this morning. Lord, what a high calling that you've given them to shepherd and lead their family. Lord, I just pray that you give them provision, Lord, as husband and wives make provision for their families. I pray that you give them strength, give them wisdom. Help them to know that they are supposedly or should strive to be the mirror of Jesus Christ himself. So, Lord, I ask that you bless them. And fathers of teenagers, Lord, I just pray that you give them patience as they work through those years. Help them, Lord, to know what to say, when to say it, and maybe sometimes help them to know that silence might be the call for that time. So, Lord, just bless those fathers as well. And for fathers who have grown children, Lord, just God, just use us for your glory when we're needed. And Lord, help us to be examples to the younger fathers, Lord, that are raising their children. Oh God, we love you, we worship you, we adore you. Lord, I just thank you for little victories, I guess, in a sense, where we can have children's church. And Lord, I pray, God, that you protect us, Lord, as we continue to strive to do the things you want us to do in the future, Lord. Just protect this house. Lord, I just pray for those who are struggling physically, emotionally. Lord, I just pray that, God, you speak to hearts this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. That you are their strong tower. Lord, just be for us what we need you to be this morning and help us to be good receivers of the things you have for us. Oh God, we thank you for prayer, and Lord, we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The
wash away our brokenness.
There is only
Well, good morning again. If you are visiting with us this morning, here in person or even on our live stream, if this is your first time with us, we are glad that you're here. Hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. I will be at the end of the foyer after the service. Would love to meet you if you are visiting, and would love to give you a free gift as our guest. Glad that you're here. Now, couple of things in regards to Father's Day. First of all, this has been a strange season, as you know. Mother's Day, we were not able to meet together. And how many of you remember what we did for the women, for the mothers? It must have been very impactful, I can tell. We did the wave. Come on, we did. That took a lot of practice. We did the wave, and so I don't want the men to feel left out. So here you go. Okay. All right, so we're even. Also, I wanted to tell you that normally we, as Billy said, the cars, we couldn't get the cars here in time for the free gifts today. So we are doing a special love offering to our food pantry, the Methodist Food Pantry, in honor of our fathers and our mothers, and that will be going to them in your honor. You can turn with me to Mark chapter. While you're doing that, I was kind of looking at Father's Day stories and different things this week, and ran across this quote, and this is from an unknown author, and he says this: any father who thinks he's all important should remind himself that this country honors fathers only one day a year, while pickles get a whole week. Did you know that? Go ahead, fly that up there. International Pickle Week. Did you know that? Look it up, Google it. It's there. I when I read that, I thought, what? It's a real thing. Now, not only do pickles get a week, they actually get 10 days. So Pickle Week is actually 10 days long. I don't know who came up with that, but Google it. I'm not kidding. Okay, enough of that. Mark chapter 12. The fathers were feeling really special until we threw the pickles at them, man. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 30. Now, this is what has become known as the Great Commandment. So, verse 30. Love the Lord. These are Jesus' words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be with us, to speak in power and authority, stir our hearts and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, you know, has anybody noticed that things are kind of crazy? Maybe it's just me. I tell you, I have been trying to pray and discern for several weeks about our response to this craziness that's going on. And we got the coronavirus and all the stuff, you know, people, how they feel differently about all of that. And then we've got all the racial strife and things, people coming against our police departments and tearing down of monuments. And I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. So I've been trying to discern what the Lord would have me to, how he would have me to speak to this. A couple of weeks ago, I kind of started that process, and I'm gonna add some more to it today. These are things that I've discerned from the Lord, and today's message is answers for such a time as this. Answers for such a time as this. And I'm going to jump right in. God's answer during this time, God's answer. And I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, love better and forgive better. And that's getting more and more difficult. This passage we read today is called the greatest commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not got something that God says, hey, this would be kind of nice if you thought about doing this. No, it's Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandments? And this is how he responded: love God and love your neighbor. And in fact, our purpose statement as a church, what I hope that everything we do comes back to that, is to love God, love people, and to offer Christ. That everything we do should come back to that. So God's answer to these times is to love better and forgive better. And there, I say that it's getting more and more difficult because it's getting complicated. People try to paint, they do this with all these issues. They've done it with the homosexual issue. They've done it with the racial issue and the police issue. They've tried to put you in a box. Either you're here or you're here. And generally, neither one of those boxes is where God would have us to be. You can love people of all racial backgrounds and still love your police department as well. Did you know that? Did you know that's possible? This past week, on Wednesday, there's an officer that was a real good friend of my brother's that was killed back 10 years ago, Rodney Holder. And Rodney was a police officer for several years, and he was a motorcycle cop at this phase of his career. And he was working a traffic ticket, and he was hit by a car. It was an accident. But he was killed, and they dedicated, I don't know if you knew this, the Loop, is it 322 out there? Is that what it's called? Loop 322 is now the Rodney Holder, Memorial Highway, yeah. And I was at the ceremony because Jay, my brother, was good friends with Rodney, and I was there because I wanted to support the Holder family. And there was about a couple of hundred people, and there was some motorcycle officers who had parked their motorcycles along, about four of them had parked along the highway, and there was a fire truck, and there was a couple hundred people, and the family was all there, and there was just a really touching moment. And one of his fellow officers, it was a friend, was speaking, and this was a white gentleman, drove by all of the proceedings, and he said, I'll say it as nicely as I can, he said, F the police. Screamed it out his window as he's passing this thing's going on. Did you know God's told me to love that guy? Hello, it's easy to love those that agree with us. It's easy to love those that love us back. But God's saying, no, love him. That guy that screamed that ugliness I'm sitting here thinking, golly, his family's here. His family's here. This man gave his life serving this community, and that's what his family gets. And God was just convicting my heart. I want you to love that guy, Jeff. I want you to forgive that guy. In fact, the Lord's Prayer that we spoke this morning that Jesus taught us, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. These are tough things that we're talking about this morning. In this day and time that we're in, Mark 11 says, Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Why? So that your Father in heaven will forgive you. And most of the time when people, I'm just seeing, all of us are, I think if you're online or watch the news or anything, you're just seeing a lot of angry people, isn't there? Just angry. I think anger comes from this place in us where we're not feeling loved and validated. I mean, sometimes we just get angry because we just don't feel like anybody's listening to us. I get angry sometimes about that stuff. I read this story. It comes from Ernest Hemingway wrote a story. I'm just going to read this little paragraph here. It says it better than I could. He wrote a story about a father and his teenage son. In the story, the relationship between this father and his son had become somewhat strained, and the teenage son ran away from home. His father began a journey in search of his rebellious son. Finally, in Madrid, Spain, in a last desperate attempt to find the boy, the father put an ad in the local newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day, in front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. They were all seeking forgiveness, and they were seeking the love of their father. God's answer, and I'm telling you, we outside of the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have this in me. I don't think you have it in you. But the Holy Spirit can empower us to love better and to forgive better. Secondly, God's answer in times like this is to demonstrate integrity and compassion. Integrity and compassion. You know, we have enormous power and influence as believers. I can just tell you, if the answer doesn't begin with the church in these volatile times, nothing's going to get better. Nothing's going to get better. We need to be a people of integrity and compassion. 1 Peter says it this way, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in most of the stuff that you do." No, it doesn't say that. "In all that you do." He's holy. He's our God. He lives inside of us. So he's saying, be holy like that. "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." 1 Peter again in chapter 3. "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this in gentleness and respect." There's that compassion. "Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." When this gentleman drove by the other day and shouted out that obscenity to the family in the group, nobody responded in like. The guy that was speaking, everybody kind of looked over there and he kind of went, "Whatever," and he just kept on trucking. We need to be a people of integrity and compassion and not an eye for an eye. It's like, "Oh, well, you said that, so I've got that justifies me in saying and doing these things." I'm telling you, I'm glad that you're listening, but I'm preaching to myself today. Is that okay? I'm preaching to myself today, and anybody that wants to listen is welcome. "Be kind and compassionate," Ephesians says, "to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." You know, I'm just going to move right into the third point. God's answer in these volatile times is to speak words of life and to serve others. Speak words of life. Did you know that there is great power right here? I mean, even when we're in the safety of people that agree with us, we can be instigators, or we can be peacemakers. Did you know that? How we talk, even around people that agree with us, we have the power to escalate or to bring peace. The tongue has the power of life and death, Proverbs 18. Proverbs 15, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." I'm telling you, all you got to do is just Google something. Just start YouTubing some of these protests and all. I saw one this weekend, a gentleman, and he had an American flag and he had the Trump gear. And he was walking through this protest that obviously did not like either one of those things. And they start trying to take his hat and tear his flag down and all this stuff and everything. And it was just like, okay, wherever you fit in this equation, it's like, was that a gentle answer that turns away wrath? Or was it, harsh words that stir up anger? I mean, or was it bringing peace and love and compassion and forgiveness? And I mean, man, we need, the church needs to step up. We need to step up in these times. Do not let any, Ephesians 4, unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Again, I'm preaching to me, but you're welcome to get out of this whatever you can. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, and I would put my little piece in there, even if people you're talking to agree with you. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. I'm telling you, we as a nation, in my opinion, we are sitting on a powder keg. And we as the church, we as followers of Christ, need to be peacemakers. It doesn't mean compromising the truth. It just means speaking the truth in love. James says it this way, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, there is a righteous anger. Jesus got angry. He's angry. He flipped tables in the temple, but he was angry because God was being disrespected. He wasn't angry because his rights were being violated as a human being. No, he was angry for a righteous reason. A lot of pastors begin their sermons this way. I have a different prayer that y'all hear most every Sunday. But a lot of pastors quote Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So there's these words, there's power in these words. And so, as we shift out of the words and we shift into how do we serve others, instead of scolding and being angry all the time, we become servants. Jesus said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And I said this a couple of weeks ago when we had communion, but Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he's sitting around and he's washing these disciples' feet and he's serving this meal, what's become known as the Last Supper before he goes to the cross, and he's washing these feet, and whose feet does he wash? Judas. He already knew what Judas was going to do, and he worked his way around the circle, and he came to Judas, and he washed his feet. And here's what he said. Here's what Jesus said. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Man, that's tough stuff. I don't know about you. I might have booted Judas out of the room. It's like, get on with it. I'm not washing your feet. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, 2 Corinthians says, as though God were making his appeal through us. Whether we like it or not, once you have accepted Christ, once Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're his representative in the world. How the church responds, that's the same thing as Christ's response. Because we are his ambassadors. We speak on his behalf. We serve on his behalf. I do feel like I'm preaching to the choir. So many in this church are selfless servants. This past Thursday, some men in our church went to serve a Miss Balderas. And Miss Balderas, first of all, is Hispanic. Nobody asked when the word went out for people that could help. And by the way, I'll say this in a minute, but if you helped, if you were there, that's great. If you weren't, if you participate in this church, if you give anything in this church, you were there, because we were Christ's ambassadors as our church went to serve this lady. But nobody asked Who is Miss Balderas? What race is she? Does she go? Is she going to come to our church? Nobody asked those sorts of questions. They just said, when do we show up? And what do we need to bring? And these men went on Thursday, and here's, I've got a picture. Go ahead, Ben. That's just one of her windows. The air conditioner there didn't work, and you can't really see it, but the top glass was broken, and the bottom obviously is gone. That window was taken out. Another window was taken out, and here was the result of that window. That's what those men left when they left, with a new air conditioner that worked. And then in her kitchen, Miss Balderas had... she had had a water leak, and the cabinet under her kitchen sink had all rotted out, and you can't really see it there, but on the left-hand side was a stack of bricks holding her sink up. And what she asked of these men was, you got a board that we can kind of prop up in there just to kind of prop that up? And here was the result when those men left. Let me tell you, when those men went to serve her and they told her what they were going to do, just before they even did it, when they just said, here's what they were going to do, Miss Balderas wept. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And if ever a world needed a church to love better, it's now. It's now. Man, it's a challenge for us. I think there'll be more that the Lord will speak to my heart. He's probably speaking to your heart about all sorts of things, but those are some of the answers for such a time as this. Love better, forgive better, be a church of integrity, speak words of life and serve others. Man, if the church does that universally, we will change things. We will change things in this nation. If you would just bow your head with me. Father, we confess that we can't love like you without your Spirit. We confess that we can't forgive like you without your Spirit. We confess that we are flesh and blood, and we don't always walk our steps with integrity. We don't always speak words of life, and we sometimes put ourselves above others. But Father, we want to do better. We want to be the light and the salt for this crazy, hurting, mixed up nation we live in. We're calling on you. We're crying out to you, Lord, to show us how, to empower us to love like you. I thank you for the people you've assembled in this church and that do that, those things. Help us to do it better. Help me to do it better. Help us to be servants. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to baptize Nicholas in just a moment as we close with this song. So please stay and celebrate with Nicholas as we baptize him. Stand, if you will stand for this last worship song.
That you're
Susan and Nick, if you guys want to come up where you can see better, please help yourself. Nicholas, come on up, buddy. How's that ice water? Is that good? I put ice in it. Is it all melted? Is it okay? All right, good. All right, Nick, you have confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You repented of your sin. You've asked Him to be your Savior. Do you wish to be baptized in that faith today?
Yes.
Amen. All right, hold your nose. Nick, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Stay right there. Stay sitting. Y'all want to step in here and put a hand on the shoulder, maybe, if you can reach. There we go. Lord, thank you for loving Nick. I thank you that he loves you. I pray that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit, that he would be a strong and mighty man of God as he grows up, God, that he would be, I know you have a plan and a purpose for him. Bless him, bless his family, bless Nick and Susan, and Father, just may joy and peace and excitement just permeate their home. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll rise for the benediction, you can get dried off, my friend. We've got at least some of the things God is calling us to do, church, in these times. So go and tell someone. Go and be the church in Jesus' name. God bless. Amen. Savior. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.